The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be, but Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out of the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Luke chapter 6, 36 to 42. In the traditional one-year Lutheran lectionary, this is the Sunday in which the focus shifts from God's work for us, which is the gospel, to how we are to live as Christians, which is the law. Many of the texts for the Sundays after Trinity, after this, dwell on this general topic, which theologians call sanctification. For each one of these sanctification texts, including our lesson today, you should hear and consider, one, what God expects from you as his child. Two, how you fail to live up to his expectations. Three, how Jesus perfectly fulfilled God's expectations on your behalf, so that all people are loved for God's sake. Four, how those who believe and are baptized will be saved for Jesus' sake. And five, some practical Christian counsel about how to improve your thoughts, words, and deeds in the area of life discussed. Now, that does not mean that I'm going to follow those 5 points in each sermon or in that order, but they are always at least implied in this sort of discussion. Like any parent, God expects his children to share in his good qualities and attributes. And if we consider God's attributes, the three most prominent ones as they apply to us are his righteousness, his mercy, and his love. God's righteousness is exhibited in his fundamental sense of justice, fairness, propriety, and respect for the law. The law, as we humans know it, is an outward expression of the inner attribute of God, that is, his righteousness. God did not create the law in its essence, nor did it exist prior to God, either logically or temporally. The law is part of who God is, just as love and mercy are part of who God is. The result of this is that, although God wants everybody in the world to be saved, he cannot save those who are disobedient to the law. Because he is righteous, he can only save one. That's the obedient one, Jesus Christ. But then also, those who cling to Christ and his merits through faith and their baptism. That's God's righteousness. God's mercy is exhibited primarily in his sending of his son Jesus into this world. That act of incarnation and sending his son is the greatest act of mercy in itself. And then also in his passing over your sins for the sake of Jesus so that you might be saved eternally. But there's more to God's mercy than simply that. In his home postol for this gospel lesson, Martin Luther explains what mercy is in our human experience. And I quote from Luther here, quote, "Everyone knows quite well that the term merciful describes a person who is ready to sympathize with his fellow man, a person who is kind and friendly toward his fellow man, and is so genuinely concerned about his neighbor's needs and misfortunes of body and soul, reputation and property, that he tries to think of ways in which he might be able to help his fellow man, and then prove his concern by his deeds, doing them joyfully and gladly. That is what being merciful means." End of quote. Therefore, mercy is not just a matter of eternal salvation, but includes all areas of a person's needs or misfortune. That God is perfectly merciful is a wonderful thing and is worthy of our praise and thanks both now and forevermore. Now stop. Ask yourself, when it comes to my relationship with my fellow man, which of those two divine attributes, mercy or righteousness, am I more likely to exhibit? which of those two, righteousness or mercy, comes more naturally to you? Which is easier? Now be honest. If somebody has offended you or hurt you in some way, are you going to be angry, insist on your rights, and demand some sort of payment in return? Or are you going to have pity on them, forgive them, and just happily give up whatever they took from you? Now, if you know yourself and you are honest, you will admit that the attribute of righteousness is the dominant way in which you relate to your fellow man. Now, you might say that it is the default setting, which is a term we use in working with appliances and computers. Default setting in a human relationship means that you're always trying to find default in your neighbor. That is a pun. Default. And you usually find default in your neighbor automatically. You don't have to work at it. It's right there in front of you. In this sense of righteousness, every human being shares in the character and attributes of God. It is part of God's image that remains in us after the fall. We understand by nature, even as fallen human beings, we understand the law. We understand justice, and especially as that applies to ourselves, to the things we own or control, and our, quote, rights. So then when we think about God and religion, it is easy for us to understand God's righteousness, the law, and his justice. Many religions and many forms of Christianity get this aspect of religion and God correct. But they usually don't understand God's other primary attributes, which are mercy and love. Now, the paradox of human relationships is that you demand righteousness from others who have offended you, but you beg for mercy from them when you've offended them. If you were perfectly righteous, you would demand from yourself exactly what you demand from others. The fact that you cannot do this is a strong proof of your unrighteousness. That is, your sinfulness. God knows that you are a sinner and are unrighteous. Jesus has paid for that sin and unrighteousness through his suffering and death on the cross. Because of Jesus, God has mercy on you and forgives your sin and your faults of character and behavior. Because of Jesus, you are a child of God, in spite of your problems and your faults. Because of Jesus, and because you are his child, God wants you to learn to be merciful. Mercy is not a default setting. Mercy is something you have to learn. That's our gospel text this morning. Jesus said, "Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged." Luke 6:36. Again, mercy is not a default setting. We learn about mercy by hearing about God's examples of mercy. We hear in Scripture about how God was merciful to human beings at the time of Noah by saving the people in the ark. We hear in Scripture about how God took Abraham and the patriarchs out of the pagan cultures in which they lived, gave them a wonderful and fruitful land, and then protected them from their enemies. We hear in Scripture about how Jesus treated the poor, the sick, the lame, the demon-possessed, and the other disadvantaged people of his day. We hear in Scripture about how Jesus wept at the gate of Jerusalem. This was before he entered Jerusalem on Holy Week. Even though he knew they would torture and kill him, he loved them anyway. That's mercy. We learn about mercy by hearing and studying the scriptures, and then by following the scriptural examples of mercy in our own lives. It's a learning process. God does not want us to be seismic engineers. I think you all live in earthquake territory. Do you know what seismic engineers do? They find faults. There's another pun. God doesn't want you to be a fault finder. He wants you to be a mercy minder. He wants you to be someone who is thinking about ways to help your neighbor, whether that is simply a word of encouragement, an act of aid or compassion, or maybe a vocational direction. Some jobs are more directed toward helping your fellow man, such as social work or teaching or the medical professions. But you can approach almost any job with the attitude of doing your best work in order to help your neighbor. That's the Christian doctrine, the Lutheran doctrine of vocation. And when you do that in your job, you are being merciful. Thanks be to God, who has been wonderfully merciful to me, to you, and to all poor sinners through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.